about liberation, and it's all about bringing her beautiful truth to life. So make sure you guys tune in. We've got one more minute before the show, and I am super excited. Woo! Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back, everyone. It is Auckland's best radio show, a Planet FM 104.6 will be about it show. I am live with our amazing Claire Sampson, and she has got a beautiful story to share today. She is live in the studio, and I think I'm just super pumped, but also just excited to have her and her little beautiful family here as well to have a, you know, a cordial, a chat. This week is about community, and I wanted to highlight her on her incredible story. So a few years ago, I would say 10 plus years ago, her brother, sad, tragically died in a accident, and it was involving the Cook Island police. But this story is about resilience, it's about empowerment, and it's also about Claire. So before we get into it, Claire, please welcome and introduce yourself to the community that is tuning in today for our Be About It show.
Kia ora na tina. My name is Claire Sampson Piniata. I'm from the island of Manihiki and also the beautiful island of Tuvalu.
Beautiful. And welcome, welcome, welcome. We are also beautifully graced with her beautiful children here in the studio. And thanks for taking the time, my sister, for even coming on the show. We've been having chats about this throughout the last year and even this year. And I commend your bravery and I commend your resilience because it takes a lot to even just get into the car, think about coming to the studio and coming through those doors. But let's get into it. Let us know, being from the Cook Islands and also spending your time there as well, how was it like for yourself spending time with your brother, but also going through this journey of having to share this about him as well?
Actually, Tina, thank you so much for the opportunity to get me in here. Actually, for my brothers, during the time of the accident, our family is still struggling to cope with everything that happened back then. I believe that it's got timing today for me to come up and, you know, speak out of how I feel and how our family were mistreated by the police of the Cook Islands. And not only that, with I'm very upset, like, so upset at the fact that Cook Island police and the government, the court, they did not give us any chance to speak on behalf of my brother. Apart from that, Tina, it's about the testimony that they share in court. Sorry.
That's okay. It's your time. It's your story, my sister. And
it's
keep going.
I feel like, you know, it's just yesterday it's happened. I can actually say that all these years when my brother passed away, the police has shared statement in the court telling the whole Cook Islands, the public, the nations, that he died on the scene. But he did not. I was right at the hospital when my brother arrived. He was complaining of chest pain. He was complaining about the police beat him up. He was complaining about the police truck run him over. And I'm not making up these words because I definitely got evidence. I've got photos. I've also had the medical report to prove that he was alive during the time. And coming up here to the radio is that I really want to voice out because I know the corruption that's going around in the island. It's really bad. And I can definitely say that corrupt in the Cook Island is really bad. Not only for the police department, but everywhere in the government. So when I say everywhere in the government is, I've been searching and searching for help. I've been trying to look around to see if any lawyer could help me to carry on my brother's, you know,
case. Legacy, his case, yes. His story, yes.
Because I want the whole world to listen and to understand that we are the witness.
Mm.
We were there during the time when he was up at the hospital. He was still breathing. He's talking to us. And in some points, the police, the four police officers that were involved in the accident, were trying to stop him from talking. And also with their team leader, I'm not going to mention his name, but it's upset me during the time of, you know, the interview. He came home pretending to be a Crown Law member.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's just a police officer who comes to take our statement to use it against the family, you know. So those are the things that I really wanted to come up here and speak about. And not only that, like, for my family, like, and I are still grieving for my brother. Mm. For me, he was too young, very young, to be taking his life away in a sort of a young age.
Yeah.
Mm. It takes a lot, Claire, and I can see how this is super important to you. And a part of the Be About It show is being authentically you. And I feel like a part of your story is resilience and legacy of your brother, who is watching right now in spirit and here to really bring you some courage to keep going. And I feel like, you know, I wanted to highlight, Claire, how has this made you a stronger and more, I would say, driver? It's your drive to seek your story, but also bring some justice for your brother.
Yes.
Yeah. How has that been helping you to stay strong, to stay courageous?
I guess I was always a strong young girl, you know, during my childhood. I'm always, you know, I'm a kind of person that I like to speak the truth.
Yeah.
I'm not scared. I'm not afraid to speak in front of the government, in front of the law, you know. I'm just a person like that my whole life. And I guess that bringing out the story of my brother is something that the government needs to look into it again, especially the abutments, because during the chase is... It's been a while, you know, it's been a long time. I can say that it's been more than 2 hours, you know, the chase that has been going on in Kurgaling during the time.
Yeah.
And I can say that, I mean, if we look into New Zealand law and Kurgaling is a small island,
yeah,
which you can't chase the person for, like, you know, that long. And... Yeah, those are the things that I want to highlight, and especially when a police officer come up to the courthouse and testify that, you know, the deceased died on the scene. Like, no way.
Mm.
We were the family. And they also told us that to come, you know, and testify in court. We did not have the chance to speak during the time. I guess that their lawyer was pretty good, Norman George, and... I've been trying to voice out in the court when I heard the, you know, the words saying that, when they say, one of the officers said that he died straight away, and I stood up, but the lawyer at the same time stood up and said that if I speak one more time, they will remove me out of the court.
Wow.
So I feel offended. I feel sad because no one is there to speak out on behalf of my brother.
Yes.
And it's just the lies that I, you know, it's unbelievable that, you know, if you wanted to become a police officer, I thought they were there to protect us, to serve us. And, yeah.
I hear you. And I'm so empowered by the fact that you have so much resilience and courage to say, they try to silence you. You know, they try to silence you, but you stood your ground, and you know your story. And that's one thing that I really love about you is you're not letting anyone change that story for you and change that narrative. And I think that's super powerful, my sister. And I think, you know, even the authority, Auckland Islands police are having some change around how they want to, you know, change your narrative or see some changes. I feel like only you will have that power around changing, you know, who you are or what you are capable of doing. So I'm just, yeah, I see this story as being one of those empowering stories that can really touch others to really come and support you, because you definitely deserve closure, not for only yourself, but also for your family and for your late brother as well. So I feel like, you know, this conversation that we're having, it's about not only you reaching out to the community, but also for the support. For a lot of our people to really come on board and just look at this side of the story, because you know, we've already seen what they've said and we've already seen what they would share, but I feel like there's always two sides to the narrative, and I feel like you're seeking some support to hear your side of the narrative, and also for the community to also highlight that it's not just one side. And you know, it's quite sad to hear and also to see that you were silenced in trying to share your story. So, you know, throughout this journey as well for yourself, because it's been 10 plus years since this happened. 2003. And a part of my questioning for today, sis, is asking you, you know, how has your family been through all of this as well? Because I think from a outside perspective, people will see, oh, they've moved on, everything's going well, but you know, to hear the scope and hear, how's it been for you and your children, your family, going through this but also carrying a smile, like you're still strong?
Hey Tina, thank you. As I mentioned before, that you know, we were struggling with this case of my brother. Actually, my parents, they passed away 2 years ago. They were both passed away 6 days apart from each other. I can say that it's not an easy road for all of us. But as my father was a senior trustee of the peace back in Manihiki, I believe that during those time, he couldn't really speak up. He couldn't really stand up for us during that time. But I did. I do respect that. I respect his decision because he's a government worker. But for myself, no one pushed me, but myself pushed me to come this far to voice out about my brother. Because when I look back, I can just see that, you know, we can't sleep most of the time.
Right.
For many years, which has been thinking a lot, like, how is this police officer treating our family, looking at us, damaging my brother's name by saying that he's a criminal, he's all this and that. But that's not the point. He's only a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
And he is not a criminal. He may be on curfew, still a minor, you know, taking his life too early away from us is something that I cannot live and bear with it. Like, especially with my little ones, I'm fear for my children's life, you know, especially in the Cook Islands, when we're around people that we think they're going to help us out, you know, protect us during those time. But for myself, I've been struggling. I can also admit that, like, you know, my attitude, my everything has been changed ever since my brother got involved with this police chase back in 2003. I mean, it's just something that is hard for all my family to talk about. And I think I'm the brave one to come and speak about it, because I do know one any of this to happen to another family, to any innocent family that, you know, for myself, I want to speak out and tell the whole Cook Island, whoever is listening to me right now, that I do need help to bring up my brother's case. I do want the government to look into this and review the case, reopen the case for us. Because during the time of the court case, we were not important to any police officer. We were not important to the court. And we did not stand up to testify on behalf of my brother. So I know it's been a while, it's been a long time, but I want justice for my brother. I want justice to serve for my brother and my family. I don't want this to be swiped under the carpet. I want the Cook Islands police officer, the court, the ombudsman to look into my brother's case, hear our cries, and hear our voice. Because we are speaking about this, and it's the truth about what we're saying right now. He did not die on the scene, but he died in the hospital. And we were there to witness, we were there to hear his voice talking to us, complaining about what the police did to him. And we want this story to come alive, and I want the whole world to know that he did not die on the scene.
So much love. So much love and so much light that you've, like, brought this into. And I feel, you know, I feel for you and your family, but most importantly, your brother's still here in spirit. And I feel like you are leading that, you know. When you say you feel silence, you're not silenced, because you would have stopped a long time ago if you were silent. And I think what's happening right now is we need to, you know, get some support around you, because you feel like you've been silenced. But I feel it's more so of an awakening for everyone just to look at it from another narrative and say, hey, there wasn't no support towards you. And, you know, for yourself being a Cook Islander, how has that, like, changed from when your brother has passed? Because you've become more resilient, more courageous, more. But being a Cook Islander, I wanted to ask that. Being a Cook Islander, but also speaking your truth, how has that really changed your perspective of being a Cook Islander? You know, when you see the flag, you see the community, you see the people. Tim Ivanhoe is going on at the moment, you know, and we have so many things that happen in our Cook Island community. But when it comes to speaking up about a relative, what's your thoughts on that? Like, how do you see being a Cook Islander, and then it's a Cook Islander when you are doing Te Mai Vanui, having donuts, eating with your family. But when it comes to things that are, you know, connected and you're seeking your truth, what's your thoughts on that, Claire?
Thank you, Tina. My thought on that is that, you know, these are the kind of stories that we need to bring out to the community, to the world, to, you know, to listen to. For me, looking at, you know, especially the celebration going on in the Cook Islands today, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of sharing on Facebook and, you know, on social media that about the Mai Vanui celebration and all this. But for me, deep in my heart is my brother's case. It's been a long time. No one have ever shared, you know, on social media to see what is going on with this family. How do they feel about what's happening, you know, to their brothers? I feel like everything has been swiped under the carpet.
Right.
Like, you know, we don't have any voice. We're not important. And for myself, I don't really understand about this corruption is going around, you know. Especially for me, I will speak my truth, because I've been going from lawyer to lawyer, and I've been stumbled, or like, you know, on someone that related to the police officer.
Yeah.
And her advice to me is that, oh, you don't have to reopen the case this year. You have to wait for another 5 years.
Yeah.
So to myself, I feel like, you know, everyone that I go and seek for help back at home, they're trying to, like, close the door to me. And I feel like, you know, I'm unwanted. Like, you know, I'm not important to, you know, to speak up about my brother. And even to the police station, I've been going in a couple of times to, like, ask them if they can, like, you know, give out whatever they have, statement, because, you know, listening to them in court is totally a lie. Like, they say that he died there. No. My brother died in the hospital, which he say that they beat him up. They run over him. And I've got photos of the truck mark, you know, the tire mark that was on my brother's body. I've got the medical report, which they did not show it in court during the time of the court.
Mm.
So I've got all those evidence with me, but I can't believe that I'm the only one holding on to those evidence. And everyone else is doing the laughing away with it, like he died there, he was a criminal, he's dead and that. So, yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I really
speak
want
your truth.
Someone, yes, to, like, you know, if, I mean, today I'm talking about it, and it feel like it just happened yesterday. And there's no point of me, you know, keeping this evidence while the court say something else, that he died in the, you know. Yeah, to me, it's just, I can just keep on saying corruption.
You, I hear you, and I feel like in regards to your truth, it's super important for our community that's out there, not only in the, you know, the New Zealand area, but this is a blessing that we can, you know, share this story out to the world as well, is the importance of speaking your truth when you feel invisible. The hashtag for the show that we have for the Be About It show is make the invisible visible. So for your brothers, not just for your brother's story, but also for yourself. You've been through a lot trying to share the importance of not giving up and staying courageous, but also doing it for your family as well. Because I can see, yes, there's a sense of fear in our community when we're speaking about things that are hidden underneath the carpet. But I just commend just your resilience to... It's been 2023, sorry, 2003 till now, and you're still going. You know, you're still going, and I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your spirit. I can see the fact that you've come here to really speak about this. But I just really, really love the fact that you're not giving up. You're doing this to really keep going, you know, and I wanted to ask, with everything that is happening as well, what are you looking to have or want out of this as well? You know, if there is a particular group or amount of people that will support you in this journey as well, what is that one thing that you're kind of looking at? Like, I want this type of support. I want this closure for my family. What is it that you're actually after for this? Is it justice? Is it peace? Is it... taking accountability and apology, like, what from your side, what is going to make things bring peace to you and your family?
Yeah, thank you, Tina. I actually want to bring peace upon my family. I believe that many people in the Cook Island has been, like, you know, talking to me and tell me to forgive. You know, just forgive. God can see everything. He's not, you know, a sleeping God. But for myself, everyone has a different heart. I do forgive, but I can't forget.
Yeah.
So I can actually say that, you know, looking for peace and justice, I know that we can only find it from God. But speaking the truth of what has happened to my brother is important to me, so that, you know, everyone in the Cook Island can hear and understand which part that I'm trying to bring up. Because my point here is just the lies that the police has bring up into the public about his death, that, you know, he died in the sense, like, I don't actually agree with that.
Mm.
And I will say that how can you become a police officer? Testifying in front of the whole Kerguelen, you know, I mean, the family, the police and the court members, like, the JB was there to listening to, I mean, to listen to the whole thing, like, and everyone agreed to it at the end of the day. Like, even Isaiah has brought in most of his witnesses. Like,
yeah.
And when you look into it, like, during the time, it's just the people that come in and talk good about him, about this police officer, it's all government worker.
Right.
And they were not there during, you know, what happened to my brother. So I guess that that's wrong.
Mm.
And we didn't have a voice to speak out for him. And they all knew that he was still alive when he got into the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can keep going, you know. Don't stop. I feel like, you know, with everything that you've gone through as well, I'm just writing like little details on my paper here as well and taking note about the woman you've become, you know, from 2003 was when this incident happened with your brother, and the, you know, your courage, your resilience, but just... I just commend you for just speaking up itself, because I feel like in our culture, especially within the Cook Island culture, it's so good to just hide things underneath the carpet.
Yeah.
But for yourself, Claire, you're just so being about it and you're stepping up to the plate, not only for your family, but also just really speaking your truth and making that invisible story visible. So in regards to this journey that you're going to be going through, but also what's going to be happening, even after this interview, I can't wait just to see things that you're going to be doing in terms of letting our community know that it's okay to speak up. I feel like there's always a sense of fear when you're speaking about things that you really want to bring like peace to. But you're so different. You're doing things really differently. And I'm super empowered from your story, because there's so much more to speak more about. And for those that are tuning in right now on Planet FM 104.6, this story is about being about it, but it's also about resilience, courage, and not letting anyone silence what you know deep inside of your heart. And I love what you're doing with this story. I love what you're going to be doing as well. I feel like there needs to be more advocacy and support around what's happened with your brother. Even if there's things that are not happening right now, you still got to keep that resilience. This is just me with my light on right now, but I just can't wait, you know, Claire, just to see what you do, and also bringing in your children and just really being authentic about this as well. And Claire, one last question as well, just before we're going to be wrapping up the show. What's your manako, or just for our community to take from this as well? What do you want our people to know, and how can we support you in your journey?
I just want to, I am really looking forward to reopen this case. I want the police to understand where my hurt's coming from, you know, my family. Especially when we didn't have, like I said before, when we didn't have the time to stand up in court and testify on behalf of my brother. My brother did not have any witness, you know, during the time, but we do have a lot of witnesses. And I couldn't believe that, you know, none of us were called up to stand up and speak on behalf, because I understand why, because they were saying that he died, you know. So when I look into this case, it's actually not a good case looking. It's under the cup.